Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 22. The 5,000 have just been fed. They collected the 12 baskets full of leftovers. And look at verse 22, Matthew 14, 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, does that just blow your mind away? I know we've read this so many times. It was, okay, Jesus is walking on the water to the boat. We know what the story. He's walking on the sea. He's walking on the water. And the disciples are out there. It's the middle of the night. It's dark. They don't have headlights on their ship. They don't have flashlights. They may have some kind of light, but it's dark. They're out about 3 miles out from shore, and Jesus comes walking on the sea. All right, just making sure you're with me there. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit or a ghost, and they cried out for fear. I would have called out for fear. Don't you think you'd have done that too? I mean, I don't know exactly what I would have said or called out for fear. I'm 3 miles out in the middle of nowhere. There's not supposed to be people walking outside the boat. They look out and they see somebody. They don't realize it's Jesus walking out on the water. But straightway, verse 27, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What a story! It was evening before the 5,000 were fed. And chapter 14 and verse number 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, and that's when he said, I want you to feed these people. I don't know how long it would take to feed 5,000 people. Jesus took the 5 loaves. They had this whole process of finding how much food they had and then going back to Jesus and saying, no, we can't do this. And then Jesus saying, well, give me what you've got. And he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he breaks them up in the baskets and he tells the people to sit down. Have you ever told 4 or 5 people to sit down in order? And he sits them down in companies. And so they've got this huge area of grass. 5,000 people finally get seated. 5,000 people finally have the basket of food passed by them. They get what they want to eat, and they eat until they are filled. 5,000 is a lot of people. This takes time. It was evening before they started feeding these people. It's late. After several hours of passing out food, the disciples go get into the ship. The Bible says Jesus constrained them to do it. Something like this. You guys go get in the ship. I'll send away the multitude. I'll tell them to go home. I'll get them gone. You guys just go get in the ship. I'll catch up with you later. I imagine it was dark when they got in the ship and left for the other shore. All the Bible doesn't say that for sure. It was evening before they started getting fed. It's late. Jesus constrains them to get into the ship. They probably didn't want to leave him, but he constrained them. He makes them, he tells them, go get in the ship. I'll catch up with you. I can just imagine them thinking, well, how are you going to catch up with us? How are you going to get to where we... I don't know that he said, I'll catch up with you. He constrained them to get in the ship. He tells the multitude to leave, and finally he gets the multitude to go away. Remember, they wanted to make him a king, and he had to stop that, and finally he goes up into the mountain to pray. He constrains the disciples to go before him to the other side. The Bible says the ship gets into the midst of the sea, and it's tossed with waves. How many of you have ever been in a boat out in an open lake or sea or the ocean and the waves start tossing it? I have not really been in that situation where I was scared of the waves tossing it. I've been in this situation where the wind starts blowing and it's hard to get back to where you started. That's a challenging situation. But here they are. Jesus told them to get into the boat. They're out in the sea, I believe about 3 miles out. And as they're out there, the Bible says that they're tossed with the waves. The wind was contrary, not helpful. A few lessons as we just get started. God puts people in situations that seem uncomfortable and uncertain and dangerous. Before we go on with this message, who was it that told them to get into the boat? Jesus did. It wasn't like the disciples said, Jesus, can we please just leave? Can we please just get in that boat and go? And Jesus reluctantly said, okay, fine, but you're going to get into a storm. Fine, go do what you want to do. No, it wasn't that at all. It was Jesus constraining them. You guys go, get in this boat, and you go out into the sea. Now, we know that Jesus knew what was going to happen. We know that Jesus was sending them into a storm. And God puts people in situations like that. Jesus, on purpose, put them into the storm. It was uncomfortable, it was uncertain, it was dangerous, but Jesus commanded them to go into the ship and go out into the sea. The Bible says that Jesus saw them toiling in rowing. They're trying to get to the other side. The wind is contrary, blowing them back. The Bible says they're rowing, trying to get there. 25 or 30 furlongs is what the Bible says that they went. I believe that was from the passage in John. About 3 miles, 3 to 3.5 miles. Jesus sees them toiling and rowing. I remember I had a book when I was a kid. It was an arch book or a golden book, one of those little books, and it was this story. And I just remember wondering, how did Jesus see them when he was up on the mountain praying and they were way out in the sea? Well, you've got to remember something. Jesus is God. And from where Jesus is, he sees them rowing. He sees them toiling. And the Bible says that he walks unto them. He went unto them walking on the sea. The Bible says in the fourth watch. So that would have been after 3 a.m. I don't know what time he sent them, but by 3 a.m, they're 3 miles out. The winds are blowing. The wind is contrary. The waves are tossing the boat around in the middle of the night. Something that we need to learn here before we really get into the message is that God comes to help in his time. It's not always our time. Middle of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m, the darkest part of the night. Do you remember why they went to the desert place in the first place from last week? To get away, remember? The people were just kept coming, and the multitudes kept coming. And the Bible says they didn't have any leisure, not even enough leisure to sit down and just eat. And then the multitude followed them out into the desert, and then they fed them again. And now it's the middle of the night, and they've been rowing and toiling all night. They are scared, they are wet, they're exhausted. And Jesus waited until 3 a.m. to go out to them. Sometimes we wonder, God, why are you taking so long? God, why are you waiting so long? It's the middle of the night, it's dark and it's cold. He could have gone to them earlier. I don't know the reason he waited till 3 a.m. I don't need to know the reason. And we don't need to know the reason why God waits sometimes, but God comes whenever it is his time to come to help us and when he's ready. Jesus, the Bible says, would have passed by them. It's just an interesting thought. I wonder if Peter hadn't called out to him, Lord, tell me to come to you on the water, if Jesus would have passed them. The Bible says that Jesus came unto them walking on the water and would have passed by them. They see him. They're scared. They suppose it was a spirit. Just a quick lesson here again. We don't always recognize God in the situation when we're in it. Jesus is the one that sent them out there. Jesus is the one that put them in the boat. Jesus is the one that sent them into the storm. And here he comes walking past them, and they don't even recognize him as Jesus, the one that put them there. Sometimes God puts us in a situation. We don't like the situation. We don't want to be in the situation. God knows we need to be there for some reason. And then we don't recognize that it was God that put us there. And sometimes we don't recognize God in the middle of that. Eventually, Peter does recognize him as God, but at first he didn't. They thought Jesus was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. Can you imagine what they're thinking at this point? What was Jesus thinking? What was he thinking sending us out here? And here's this storm. And I wonder, maybe they thought he says he's the Son of God. He should know what's going to happen. And here we are in the middle of this storm, and now there's a ghost. And Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Cheer up, guys. It's me. It's okay, it's me. Now, you've got to picture this back in their time. They're on the ship. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they're fishermen. They're used to ships. Other people, I don't know. They may have been, they may not have been. They're used to ships. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's the middle of the night, there's no electricity. I don't know that they could see anything. If they had candles, they could see a little ways, but candles don't illuminate very far. I don't know how far Jesus was away from them when they first saw him. It may have just been one of those, you turned around and he's just there. Cheer up, guys, it's me. Wait a minute. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's really you, would you ask me to step out of this boat and walk out to you on the water?" Peter thought of that himself. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Peter, it's me. Come out on the water, trust me." No, it was Peter saying, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to walk out on this water." And Jesus says, "Come." What a point of decision. Have you ever said something and then wished a minute later you hadn't said it? I'm wondering if that's what, I do that all the time. Oh, more than I want to. I saw this last night and I read it to my family. My New Year's resolution for the year is to stop putting my foot in my mouth, and yours is probably to lose weight, right? Anybody else do that? It's just like you say stuff and then you think about it later and you're like, that was really dumb. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." And he says, "Come out to me on the water." And Peter has to make this decision. Am I going to stay in this boat, the security of this boat, or am I going to step out on the water? He is walking on the water. So, and I'm thinking this is probably what Peter was thinking. He's walking on the water, so I can walk to him on the water. For whatever reason, Peter says, "Ask me to come out to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." Here's another thought, just as we get started here. God wants you to stretch your faith. Now think about this. Jesus did not make Peter walk on the water. He didn't command him to walk on the water. But when Peter asked him, then Jesus said, "Come." God's not going to make you do something. He didn't make Adam and Eve, let me say this the right way. He gave them the option to do right or not do right. He didn't make them have to do right. He gave them that option. God gives us this opportunity to serve him. And sometimes God gives us the opportunity to step out of the boat. He's not going to force us against our will, but he gives us the opportunity. Jesus says, "Come." Peter climbs down out of the ship, and Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. He saw the wind. The Bible says he looked out and he saw the wind, the results of the wind, obviously. He sees the wind. He hears the wind. It's blowing. The waves are big. And the Bible says he's afraid. Well, yeah, we have this tendency to look at Peter and say, he doubted. What a doubting Thomas, right, Peter. And he sank and he looked around, and if it was me, I'd have kept my eyes on Jesus. And I would, well, I don't think I would have been that, I don't think I would have stepped, I don't think I would have said, "Jesus, tell me to walk to you on the," I think Peter is way ahead of me in this. He starts looking around, the wind is blowing, and he's in the middle of the storm, the ship's going up and down next to him there, but he gets out and he's standing on the water. Incredible. This is one of those, I wish I could see it. I wish I could have been there. I wish we could replay it. He's standing on the water. Is he keeping his hand on the boat as the boat's going up and down? Whatever he's doing, he gets on the water. He sees Jesus. We don't know how far away Jesus was. He was close enough to be able to see. They didn't have powerful lights. He's close enough to be able to see. He's far enough to walk to, but he's close enough to see. So Peter starts walking to Jesus. He got out of the boat, and he starts walking to Jesus, and on the way there, probably around halfway, this is where I would lose all of my courage. It's the same distance back to the boat as it is to Jesus. I mean, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just thinking, what would I have to, if I'm getting scared, the wind is blowing, these waves are huge, and I'm getting scared. If I turn around now, it's just as far to go back as it is to him, and what if I get there and it really is a ghost? What if I'm hearing things? What if all the what-ifs, all the fears? For whatever reason it was, Peter doubted and he began to sink. Here's another thing I don't know the answer to. Did he sink slowly or was it just like a push? I don't know the answer to that. But he's out in the water. It would have been good to stay in the boat. The boat's where the security was. The boat, at least they're safe in the boat. Now I'm a man overboard. And he cries out to Jesus, Lord, help me. The Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He said, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why'd you doubt? God will be there to help you if you lose faith. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He caught him. If you sink walking out to where God is, he's going to hold you up as you walk back to the boat. Just a couple quick lessons and we're going to get to the message this morning. You may not have made the progress that you hoped you would make, but your faith was increased. You got to spend time with God. And the next time an opportunity comes up, you'll be more ready to take it. Now, there's some takeaway lessons from this, but Jesus, he lifts Peter up out of the water. They get back to the boat and the wind stops. Then the Bible says they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Think about this. Peter's attempt to prove his faith and then his failure to prove his faith opened a door for the rest of the disciples to glorify God. Peter failed, right? But in his failure, they get back to the boat and all the other disciples, of the truth, thou art the Son of God. They're worshiping Jesus. And later, I wonder if they asked Peter what it was like. I would have. Instantly, they get on the boat. They're worshiping Jesus. But a few minutes later, maybe when Jesus goes to another part of the boat or when they get Peter by himself later, Peter, was it like walking on concrete or was it like walking on jello? I would have asked. Maybe you wouldn't have asked. I would have asked him that. What was it like? Any of the other disciples that didn't have the faith to get out of the boat and didn't have the faith to walk to Jesus. And I imagine they were thinking, I wish I would have done that. I wish it would have been me that got out of the boat. Then I wouldn't have to be asking Peter to tell me what it was like. I would have known what it was like. Every one of us has an opportunity in front of us that scares us. And here's the message. But if we step out by faith, God will be glorified by either our success or our failure. What's in front of you today that's got you scared? What's coming up in life and you think, I don't know that I can handle that and I really don't want to go that way, but it's like God's pushing this into my life or life is happening and God knows what's happening. It's like he put me in the boat and sent me off into a storm and God, what's going on here? I'm scared. Every one of us is facing or will very soon or sometime face that thing that scares us. But understand this before we go on. If you step out by faith, whether you're a great smashing success for God, or if you end up failing because you just end up doubting like Peter did, either way, as you step out for faith, God uses you. And in our success, and even in our apparent failure, God uses you. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he experienced God working in his life in a way that he could never have imagined. And here's what we need to understand. God has a plan for you that's bigger than you can comprehend, but you need to step out of your boat to experience it. What did Peter leave when he got out of the boat? Let's think about this. In the boat was the other disciples. Okay, that's an above average group of people. If you were to compare people, there's a great group of people that he left. He had to leave his close friends, James and John. They had probably grown up fishing together. When Jesus called them, they were there working together and fishing and come from the same town. So he had to leave some friends. He actually, do you realize Peter, to get out of the boat, he had to leave his family? Andrew, his brother, was on the boat. And Peter had to step out, leave his brother behind in order to step out of the boat. What else did Peter leave when he got out of the boat? Okay, he left the other disciples. He left his friends. He left family. Well, here's the obvious one. He left the boat, all right? The security of the boat, the protection of the boat, the comfort zone. Do you remember what Peter did for a living before he was a follower of Christ? He was a fisherman. The familiar surroundings of the boat. He left all of that, family, friends, the great group of people that he was around, the comfort, the security, the protection, the familiar surroundings. He left all of that when he got out of the boat. You know, sometimes there's things that we need to leave. They're not bad things, but there's sometimes when God wants us to do something great for him, he calls us out of those things that are comfortable and those things that we're used to, and he says, come, walk on the water to me. Maybe Peter thought, this is my chance to prove whether or not Jesus is God. You ever tried to figure out what Peter was thinking? I never can. Maybe he thought, we're not going anywhere on the ship. Jesus is going somewhere. I want to go with him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe Peter just didn't think. I think that's also an option. Have you ever done something without thinking? We already addressed that. For whatever reason, Peter asked Jesus to call him out of the boat into deep, dangerous waters. Peter was in the boat. Lord, if it's you. Lord, if it's really you, would you call me to come out to you on the water? Jesus said, come. Jesus called him out of the water. And then I'm out of the boat. And then what happened? Peter got out of the boat. Oh, wow. He got out of the boat. It's just an amazing thing. I know it's a story that we hear a lot. He got out of the boat. You need to move forward in your Christian life, even if it means leaving your comfort zone, even if it means leaving your security, or maybe even leaving your friends. When Peter asked Jesus to tell him to walk on the water, he was asking for a chance to go beyond the minimum expectations of his life. God, would you call me to do something bigger than what I'm doing right now? Would you call me to do something greater? Have you ever had a desire to do something great for God? God called me to preach when I was just young. I was 10 years old, and I went to Bible college. I fought God's call, and I didn't know exactly what he wanted me to do, and I surrendered to full-time ministry, went to Bible college, and started working in a church and teaching in a Christian school, and it was a wonderful thing. But as I was doing that, and as I was teaching in the Christian school, and as I was coaching the sports and doing the things that you do working at a Christian school, I just felt like there was more that God wanted me to do. Have you ever felt like there's more that God wants you to do? It may not be the same thing that God wants me to do, but if you ever feel like there's more that God wants you to do? And I remember as we were building the fence in our backyard there in The Colony, Texas. What a crazy name for a town. What kind of colony? It was just The Colony. It's just what it was. Building the fence and with the post hole diggers and digging the hole and the clay that wouldn't come out of the post hole diggers and having to dig it out, and it was just nasty clay and digging that. And I just remember thinking, God, I really want to be a pastor. God, would you call me, please, to be a pastor? God, would you let me do that? Serving people here is great, but God, I want to serve people. I want to share the gospel with people. God, would you call me to be a pastor? And after a while of praying and asking, God, would you call me to do this? I realize that's what God's doing. That's what God is doing. And I feel like that's very similar to what Peter found himself. Lord, if it's you, would you call me to come out on the water to you? If you could do anything for God, and all you needed to do was ask God to call you to do it, what would it be? I want you to think this morning. Anything you could do for God. Think about this. If you could do anything for God, and all you had to do was say, God, would you call me to do it? What would that thing be? Think about it. Consider it. What desire has God put in your heart? Do you ever feel like there might be something more that you should be doing with your life? And I'm not saying there is, because maybe you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. But if there is, would you be willing to say, God, would you call me to do it? God, if it's really you that put this here, would you call me to do it? I just have a feeling that a lot of us, we could do so much more for God if we would simply say, God, I'll do it if you call me to do it, and get out of the boat and start walking on the water to accomplish something great with our lives. Let me give you just a few examples this morning, and we're not going to be long in any of them. But there's some areas I believe as Christians we need to get out of the boat. The first area is the area of ministry, serving. What would happen if every person in our church took a step out of the boat? We realize, you know, there's something more I could be doing for God. What would it be like if I said, God, would you like me to serve in this ministry? And if God leads me to do it, say, okay, I've never taught a Sunday school class before. I've never worked on a bus route before. I've never gone out and told somebody how to be saved before. But God, if you want me to do that, I'll climb out of the boat and I'll walk down on the water. I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death to stand in front of those five-year-olds because I don't know what they're going to do to me. They might attack me or something. And I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to walk on the water. God, I'm scared to death to knock on that door. I'm scared to death that somebody's going to answer the door and I'll actually have to talk to the person and I'm scared. But God, if you call me to do that, I'll get out of the boat and I'll walk out on the water to you. And there's some areas that I know that every one of us, if we would just say, God, I will do what you want me to do. Just call me. Call me to come to you. Call me to step out of the boat. You ought to find something that you could take the responsibility of doing and say, God, is that something that needs to be done? And if it is, if you want me to do it, would you call me to do it? Would you give me that desire? Would you put it on my heart to do that? No, you can't do everything. None of us can do everything. But if you'd say, God, would you put it on my heart to do it? And if you put a burden on my heart to do it, I'll do that for you. Ministry, you know, we all ought to work to do what God wants to do. How about the nursery? We need ladies helping in the nursery. That's getting out of the boat right there. That is getting out of the boat and saying, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to watch somebody else's kid for a while. I'm willing to help so that maybe a guest can come into church and they can put their child in the nursery where they'll be taken care of very well. And they can go in and they can hear the gospel and they can get saved. Maybe it's cleaning or being a soul winner. God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. Or bus ministry. I'm giving you just some ideas here of saying, God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. Just put on my heart what you want me to do. Maybe being a teacher. I'm excited in April where we're going to be restructuring our Sunday school classes and hopefully starting some new classes. But we're going to need some qualified teachers to do that. I'll be given some qualifications, and we want our teachers to be faithful to church, and we want our teachers to be regular soul winners and some things like that. But we need some people that would say, you know, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to step out of the boat, and I'm excited to hopefully be able to start some new classes pretty soon, but we'll need some teachers. We need some people that will be willing to step out of the boat, out of their comfort zone, out of the regular schedule that they're keeping right now, and maybe change up some things so they can serve God in that way. Maybe it's praying regularly for other people in your class. You know, a lot of times we talk about all these serving in the nursery, doing the cleaning, and all these things that you can do. What about just praying for the other people in your class? We need people to do that. We absolutely need people who would say, you know, I will pray. I will make it my ministry to pray. And God, if you'll have me to do it, God, if you put this off my heart, God, if you'll call me, I'll get out of the boat and I'll make this my ministry because I need to pray for the other people in our church, in our class. Maybe it's writing encouraging notes to somebody. Take ownership of something that won't get done if you don't do it and say, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do this. Pray about it. Ask God. I mean, Peter said, God, if it's you, if you want me to do this, if it's you, if you want me out there, call me. And God said, come. And Peter got out of the boat. There's so much more we could do to reach our city for Christ. So I'm just asking you, will you ask God to tell you to step out of the boat in the area where He wants you to serve? It's a good opportunity for each of us to say, God, what would you have me to do? We can't all do the same thing. God doesn't want us all doing the same thing, but God, what do you want me to do? Ask Him to call you. Ask Him to lead you to that point. We need to get out of the boat in the area of ministry. We need to get out of the boat in the area of tithing. Let me just teach on this just for a few moments. Tithing is a huge step of faith. It really is. I mean, getting out of the boat in the area of tithing, it's scary. I mean, it involves finances, and it's me giving back to God a portion of what He's blessed me with, but actually doing it the way God says, the word tithe actually means 10%, and stepping out of the boat and saying, God, okay, you've told me to do this, I'll step out of the boat. We need Christians who will step out of the boat in this area. Tithing, it's a huge step of faith. It demonstrates our dependence on God to supply our needs. Tithing is obedience to God. Tithing is God's plan to provide the finances for His work on earth. When you make a commitment to tithe, you're stepping out of the boat into an area where God promises to work. That's what Peter did. I mean, think about this process. Lord, if it's you, call me to walk out on the water to you. It's got to be God working. I can't walk on the water. If it was me getting out of the boat, I'd be getting out of the boat and swimming over to where you are. That's going to accomplish nothing. But if it's you, and you want me to do it, I'll get out of the boat and I'll let you work. That's what tithing does. It gets me out of the boat, and now God can begin to work. Malachi is often a verse that we'll use to teach on this. Let me just read it for you. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then he answers, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he gives a command. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The word tithe means 10%. Bring 10% of all the increase into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove, listen to this, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's almost like the conversation with Peter. In Peter's case, prove me and see if I can help you walk on the water. Prove me and see if I'll take care of you outside of the boat. And in this case, it's God saying, prove me if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive it. If God's people would tithe, the expenses of the church would all be met. I believe if God's people would tithe, the missions program of the church would be taken care of. What is tithe? Tithe is 1/10 of the increase. I know we misunderstand tithe a lot. And so we'll say, you know what, we all are commanded to give 1/10 of our increase. That's what God said to do. That's what a tithe is. That's what the word means. Tithe means a tenth. So some people misunderstand that and say, well, you know, I'll do better than that. I'll give more than a tithe. I'll give a 20th. All right? And I'll give a 30th or 40th. Well, no, that's the wrong direction. Okay, that doesn't help. One, the town drunk came to the pastor one time. He said, Pastor, I don't know what a tenth is, but I got 2/5 in the card you can have if you want both of those. Okay, so a little bit of lightheartedness. But look, the tithe is something we misunderstand a lot of times. I'm not going to take a lot of time teaching on it right now. We will later on. But here's the challenge. God said do it. This is the challenge. Step out of the boat and tithe. When you do that, when you say, God, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how it is that you can't outgive God. The preacher always says that. But you said tithe, so I'll step out of the boat and I will give that 10% of my increase. How about Bible reading and prayer? Let me challenge you to step out of your familiar schedule and make Bible reading and time with God a part of your daily routine. It's stepping out of the boat. It's getting out of routine. How many of you like routine? You like the normal, right? You like the schedule. And I've got a schedule, and I do this every day, or I do this every Monday, this every Tuesday. That's one of the reasons why this is hard. Because we've got to step out of our schedule and say, okay, I'm going to add God to my schedule in a bigger way. I want to add my Bible reading to my schedule. I want to add time with God where I'm talking with God to my schedule. And whenever you step out of your routine and you try to do something new like that, it's a challenge. It messes with our routine and we don't like that. It messes with our schedule. Let me challenge you. If you were in the boat and you said to Jesus, Lord, Jesus is out of the boat, you're in the boat, and you said to him, Lord, if you want me to read my Bible and pray, please tell me to do it. What do you think he would tell you? Think about it. He's over there, you're over here. Lord, if you want me to read my Bible and pray, Just tell me what you want me to do. Do you think he's going to say, oh, no, don't worry about it. No, it's going to become. Do it. This is one of those things we know we need to do. Let me just challenge you to step out of the boat and do it. When it comes to soul winning, the thought of talking to someone about Jesus might scare you to death. It might seem impossible to you. Now, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. See, it's not in our power that we share the gospel. It's in God's power that we share the gospel. So my challenge to you this morning is step out of your comfort zone and share the gospel with someone. It's getting out of the boat. It may be stepping away from friends for a little while, maybe stepping away from family for a little while, and maybe even stepping away from a really great group of people like the disciples and saying, you know, I'm going to step away from this for just a little while because I need to go obey God. I need to go share the gospel and tell somebody how to be saved. In the area of separated Christian living, and this is our last one, just some thoughts to get you, hopefully your mind going a little bit. God wants you to step out of the boat and be different. God wants you to step out of the comfort zone of what everybody else is doing and live a life pleasing to God. Let me read a verse to you and it'll help you with it. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world. Jesus is outside of the boat and I'm in the boat. And I say, Jesus, Do you want me to step out and be different than the other people around me, than the rest of this world around me? What do you think he's going to say? Come. Yes. Yes, I do. Step out of the boat and come. Walk with me. Do it different than everybody else. Listen, it's hard to swim upstream against what everyone else does. I understand that. It's hard to look like a Christian when everyone around you mocks people that look like Christians. It's hard to stand for Jesus at school. It's hard to stand for Jesus at work. It's hard to live to please God in a world that hates God. That's just the truth. But God is calling us to something great. And God is calling us to do something like be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you step out of the boat and decide to live a life that's separated to God, here's what's going to happen. You will spend time walking alone. There will be times, because you've stepped out of the boat, you're going to be by yourself. See, because not everybody steps out of the boat with you when you decide, I'm going to live a separated life that pleases God. We'll teach more on details of that soon, but if I step out of the boat to live a separated life to God, not everybody else is going to do that. Some people make fun of me, some people mock me, and there will be times when you will be walking alone, but if you do, you might be the only one that has the courage to get out of the boat. But if you do get out of the boat, you'll find that Jesus will be walking with you that entire way. And when you fail, He'll be there to help you up. I'd rather walk alone with Jesus doing what He wants me to do than walk with everybody else in the world not doing what Jesus wants me to do. Let me challenge you to get out of the boat in the area of Christian living. The call to step out of the boat is a call to walk with God. If you realize what it is, Jesus said, Peter, yeah, come out of the boat. It wasn't just Him leaving the boat. It was Him walking with Jesus. The call to step out of the boat is the call to spend time with Jesus. The most rewarding times in your life will be times spent out of the boat because you're with God. But you'll be in the middle of a storm. Now think about this. Jesus was there in the middle of the storm. Peter got out of the boat and he was walking with Jesus and he was in the storm. Some of the greatest times of your life are going to be those times walking in the storm, because walking in the storm, you're walking with Jesus. Now, I know sometimes we're going to say, but then I won't get out of the boat. I'll just stay in the boat. Well, wait a minute. The boat was in the storm too. Either way, you're in the storm. The difference is if you get out of the boat, you get to walk through the storm with Jesus. And Jesus will eventually calm the storm. It won't last forever. What areas do you think God would say, you know, I want you to get out of the boat? The question that changed my life, this two questions in my life changed my life. This was the second one. What would you do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? Think about this. We are so close to being done. Just a minute. What would you do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? If all you had to do was say, God, would you call me to do this? And if you call me to do this, I'm in. I'll do it. God, if you'd lead me to do it, I'd love to do it. What would you do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? What scares you, but you would do it if you knew God wanted you to? That's what we're talking about. That thing right there, that's what you need to get out of the boat and do. Peter looked around the storm and he doubted and he began to sink. Now, but listen to this, and we're done. He was sinking. We look at him, we say, what a failure. He doubted. But the story ends with Peter getting back to the boat. And how do you think Peter got back to the boat? He walked on the water with Jesus to get there. He appeared to fail. But even though he doubted, he succeeded. He walked on the water with Jesus back to the boat. Father, I thank you for this challenge. Lord, I pray that you'd put in each one of our hearts that thing that you want us to do, that area where you want us to grow in. And Lord, during this invitation time, would you just help us to say, Lord, if it's you that wants me to do it, would you just say, come? Lord, if you want me to do it, would you just call me? Would you just say yes?